Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Heart, I will bring forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name, we pray. All right. So we're going to continue our teaching series for this month in our midweek service that we captioned Personal Leadership. Give me 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 is a good place to start. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I've said this before and I will say it a billion more times, that the word instruction there means paideia. And paideia in Greek means tutelage or tutorage. In other words, God's word is an instruction manual for the life that we have received in Christ. That means, it also means like it's a mold that we must be molded into. God's word is a standard that we have to be conformed into. In other words, you cannot approach the word of God and be left indifferent about anything. Thank you. You cannot be, indifferent about matters. It makes no difference what age or what time or what century or what is in vogue, as the case may be. There is always a biblical perspective that is always ideal, always objective, and never subjective. God's word is always objective, never subjective. Glory to God forevermore. So you will always find patterns to imitate in God's word. That's what it's saying. It's an instruction manual. There's always a pattern to imitate. There's always a model to follow after. There's always an example to follow in the word of God. So you cannot be left indifferent. And you see, the instruction of God's word filters into every area of your life. A lot of times people try to, segment, and compartmentalize their life. But in reality, you have just one life. And that life is a spiritual life. So you need that spiritual life to filter into every crevices of your life. But it's one life. You don't have a marital life. There is no such thing as financial life. You have one life. Then you are a life, all right, that has a finances, that has marriage, that has relationships. Come on, talk to me. That is into a couple of other different things. But you see, essentially you have one life. And the quality of that life must filter into every area of your life. And then we spoke about how that, one of the reasons why this teaching is so important in our congregation, in our church, in our local assembly as a church, is because we have a mandate, all right, as a church, our mission that is tandem to the instruction that Jesus gave, which can be alluded to an, a kind of a leadership mandate to every Christian. He says, go into all the world and make disciples, make students of all nations. And I told you that the word nations there, all right, is not necessarily referring to a landmass or a geographical location. The word nation there means a group of people that are bound together by a common descriptive parameter. So you can have a nation of doctors, a nation of police, a nation of students. As long as there is a common descriptive parameter that's cut across board among this group of people, they are called a nation. So you can have a nation of engineers, a nation of doctors. And God is saying, look, you are to make disciples of all nations. In other words, you're going to make students of every nation. So if you are a doctor, for instance, you have been sent as an apostle of God, a sent one to that nation of engineer or doctor, as the case may be. If you are a student, you are the sent one to your fellow students. And in this church, our mission is to what? Raise a people that will do what? In all of human endeavor, we are to enforce the reign of God's kingdom, to extend the reign of God's kingdom. Kingdom there means, it's from the word king domain. Kingdom means king domain. That means the domain of a king. That means a sphere of contact or jurisdiction under the influence of a king. And God is that king. So the kingdom first comes into your heart. It gains dominion, king domain. The king, God, finds dominion in your heart. And that dominion, all right, is supposed to filter into every area of your life. Your spatial contact should be felt by that influence. Is that not what we talk about? All right. So now the kingdom of God comes into you, and then it is to influence your environment. That's why we said leadership begins first as a personality, before it is an influence. Because leadership is the ability to influence a willful followership towards achieving a worthwhile goal. True? Therefore, leadership begins first with personality. And we said the kingdom of God comes into you, all right, and then it is meant to completely inundate your soul to the point that it now begins to influence your immediate spatial contact. Everyone around you should be influenced with the kingdom of God that is in your heart. Glory to God forevermore. So I have two objectives today in this part three to continue this teaching. Number one is I want to show you biblical way to keep a good heart. You know, last week we spoke about how that if leadership, public leadership, all right, the prerequisite for excellent public leadership is personal leadership. And we said personal leadership is actually, all right, born out of the state of your heart. Because what you do that gets others influenced are the things that were premeditated in the heart. And then we spoke about the importance of keeping a good heart. So you have to have, all right, a good heart. We spoke about last week, and that was where we stopped. And I'm going to continue there because I told you last week, I said, I'm going to show you how to keep a good heart. Did I say that last week? Good. So now, because we have seen the importance of heart, we saw how that the heart is the reality of man. We saw how that God sees heart as the most important thing. That's why scripture could tell you that if a man look into a woman with the lustful eyes, even though he has not committed that adultery physically, but as far as God is concerned, he has already committed it. Why? Because as far as God is concerned and as far as the spirit realm is concerned, if it is conceived in your heart, it's just a matter of time. The moment, all right, your spirit has conceived it, all right, it's just a matter of time. Your body is already programmed to carry it out. So the heart is the place of reality. Even your salvation took place in your heart. As real as salvation is, it took place in your heart. It didn't take place in the physical. If you were fair before you got born again, when you got born again, did it change your color? It didn't change your color. It happened on the inside. And I told you that, in fact, that it actually happened in the inner part of your heart, which is your spirit, because I think that your heart comprises the spirit and the soul. The spirit and the soul. And I said that the training of the soul is so important because no matter how rich the spirit is, if the soul is not well trained, it can hinder the influence and the outworking of the deposit of God in the spirit of a man. In the spirit of a man. You can be so spiritually endowed on the inside, but if your mind does not side in with your spirit, all right, you'll be defeated. You are a spirit. You have a soul, you live in a body. You can have good intentions in your spirit, good riches of God depositing in your spirit, but if your mind is not renewed to side in with your spirit, all right, your body will whip you. And your body is never with you. Most times, it is not. He always wants to sleep more. He always wants to eat more. He always wants to have its way. But the guy is actually neutral. It's your responsibility to curb it. That's why you are the custodian of your body. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So I'm going to show you, all right, the biblical way to keep a good heart. Because keeping a good heart is very important. Because if you keep a good heart, all right, out of your heart flows issues of life, the Bible says. Forces that shape your life. So you will be a good personal leader. And if you are a good personal leader, you can lead yourself well in the way of the Lord. You are going to be a good public leader. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now number two objective I want to obtain today is, I want to iterate three things you need to get right for a successful personal leadership. Three things you need to get right for a successful personal leadership. All right, are you ready? Can we kick off? Let's go. How to keep a good heart? Give me 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. That was where we stopped last week. Come on, give it to me. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Then in verse 19, let's go. Now, holding faith and what? I want you to participate. All them faith and what? A good conscience. Which some, having put away concerning the faith, have what? Made a shipwreck. I told you, I said, that the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. It was theologians that put chapters and verses for reference purpose. So we're going to read this scripture straight into chapter 2, all right, so that you're going to get and come in the flow. Come on, are you there? He says, all them faith and a good conscience, which some haven't put away concerning the faith, have made shipwrecks. Verse 20. Of whom, so now he mentions name here. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. Now, I wish I have time to talk about the theology of the word delivered to Satan, but not today. But let's go on. But whatever it will be, you should know, deliver Satan is not a good word. It's not a good thing. All right? That they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, let's go to chapter 2. I exhort therefore. Now, in English, if you see therefore, it means because of this. Now, let's go back to chapter 8, verse 18 again. Let's go back to verse 18 of chapter 1. He says, this church I commend unto thee, son Timothy. Now, Timothy was a leader, right? Now, he was a pastor. According to the prophecies which went before, the thou mightest way warfare, good warfare, verse 19, all them faith and good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made a shipwreck. Verse 20, of whom is, so now, all right, church history and theologians tell us, these guys obviously were leaders as well. Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were leaders. But you see, he mentions them as example of those who did not keep good conscience, and so they have made a shipwreck of the faith. They didn't keep a good conscience. So he says he commits them to the devil, to Satan, not the devil, to Satan. And it's just a borrowed metaphoric construction of, you know, excommunication. That's what it means primarily. Don't let me go into the theology because I can spend another 3 hours to start showing you from scriptures what it means. So let's get into it. It just simply means excommunication. You know, remember the child, that guy too that was sleeping with his stepmom. Alright, when Paul says, commit one to Satan. Alright, that he might learn. Alright, Apostle Paul says, when you are gathered, I told the pastors, he says, when you are gathered and my spirit is with you, alright, commit such one to Satan. Listen, to commit from Satan simply means to excommunicate from the garden of the saints. Alright? So it was basic about excommunication. Why did I say so? Because that was the first letter he wrote to the church in Corinth when he said they should excommunicate the guy, right? In the second letter, with the second Corinthians, he asked them to bring the guy back so that there won't be too much sorrow. Do you understand? So they brought the guy back to church again. The guy was misbehaving. It wasn't like he did something wrong, because see, love covers multitude of sins. But this guy was open and he was proud about it. Sleeping with his dad's wife. Incensed. So he mentions, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to what? To blaspheme. You know, I was doing a teaching one day. I said, you know, in church days, one of the ways you punish a Christian in early church, in fact, the greatest way you punish a Christian in early church, all right, is to excommunicate them, is not to eat with them. And I laughed. When I was studying the Bible, I laughed. I said, do it now. If he has communicated, he will go to another church. Do you remember Apostle Paul says that if you find a brother who is this, who is doing this, who is not, he says, don't even eat with him, that he might be ashamed. I say, eh? Praise God. Now that tells you the kind of bond that was in the early church. That just because people choose not to eat with you, you feel ashamed. Come on. They have so much strong bond, all right? This one can beat this one in all purity. Pray together, love one another. Amen. So Paul now says, these guys, they have made a shipwreck of their faith. Paul now says, I exhort therefore. What is the meaning of therefore? Because of this, I exhort that what? First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? Then verse 2, this way is going. For kings and for all that are what? Come on, talk to me. In what? These guys were in authority. So Paul is saying, because of this, that means not being able to keep good conscience and live right, as leaders, one of the ways you can help them is to pray for them. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may what? Lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So number one way to keep a good heart, prayer. Prayer for leaders and prayer for yourself. So now I'm talking to you now as a personal leader, then I'm talking about praying for yourself. Now, from this example, it is obvious that the kind of prayer we are talking about here, when he says pray for kings and those in authority, he's obviously not praying that God should give them money or that they should have influence. Then it has to be a prayer of introspection. So you as a potential leader, all right, it's a kind of prayer you must endeavor to always do. I have always told you this. No believer can remain in error for too long. If truly he has some structures in place. That's why when I see people who have reached to the peak, all right, of leadership in Christianity, all right, in Christendom. For example, I remember some years ago, the news broke out about a great man of God, all right, one bishop, Eddie Long or something, and then, you know, it was caught with cocaine. I read some of these things to you, all right? And then, you know, came out open as homosexual. The same thing with, you know, this great man of God who was the president of the Association of the American Evangelicals. Just like you have CAN in Nigeria. Imagine somebody who is a president of CAN, but it is not Nigeria, it is US. US is two continents. Such a powerful man of God. All right, just came out and, mentioned how that he has been sleeping, you know, with another homosexual who is a prostitute. He's so demeaning. Now, the question you want to ask yourself is, all right, why is that happening? Now, the first thing is you have to question the devotional life that sustained that kind of error for so long. That means there's no certain kind of prayer. And I told you what prayer is, because somebody can be doing that and have a prayer life. Prayer or gimme, and you always get result. Listen, even unbelievers in the world, they know that you just need to exert yourself spiritually to some degree and you'll get what you want in the physical. Look, the world, this physical world, all right, is a slave to the spiritual world. So I taught you this during, you know, when we're doing teaching on prayer, school of prayer, that listen, that you are getting results in prayer, but it does not affect your robust relationship with God, your fellowship with the Father, is a proof that you can actually pray to get results without relationship. And I gave you a very practical example. You might want to argue it, but it's a kind of prayer. The demoniac Gadara, when he asked Jesus, please, I beseech thee, let us go into the pig. Did Jesus answer his prayer? It wasn't like prayer. Was he praying? Prayer is not until you close your eyes. In fact, they use the word prayer in the court. Come on, talk to me. It simply means to beseech. That's all. To ask in favor of something with sobriety. Or let me use English word, do you sabi? To beg. Amen. I said amen. Prayer. That's one of the ways to keep a good heart. Prayer of introspection. Let me give you an example. I know I've done a teaching on this before. Jeremiah 17 verse 10. It says, the Lord search the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of what his doings. I search the heart. So you must have the honesty to truly open up your heart in surrender to the Lord in prayer. And be sincere to the Lord. Tell him to try you and let his word prevail over your life. In such a way that your thought and mind are in sync with his. You see, the truth is, this kind of prayer is just the prayer of scanning. Alright? Where you just say, Lord, you're just praying in tongues, but just loving on him. And then you're just pouring your soul on him. And then you're just praying in the spirit. And then you're just searching, just scanning. You're not asking for anything. You're just, all right, just surrender. It's called a prayer of introspection. To introspect simply means to analyze your own emotions. All right, to answer questions of why do I feel the way I feel about this way I'm feeling. Because you see, I told you last week, I said, as touching leadership, all right, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And this is so important. So in Psalm 26, you will find something like David shouting, saying, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Examine me, O Lord." You see, it is a prayer. Even the Apostle Paul tells the church in Corinth, he says, "Examine yourself whether you are still in the faith." In other words, whether you still believe the same body of knowledge. You know, I told you that the word faith, all right, is one of those words with several nuances in the word of God. So you can have faith as a doctrine. Faith, all right, as a style of teaching. And you can have faith, all right, as a generic way of referring to those who believe in Christ. People of the faith. Then you can have faith as a charismatic expression. So when he says, examine yourself whether you stay in the faith. Prove your own self, except ye be reprobate. That was what Paul says to the church in Corinth. So there is that place of examining yourself. And you can do this. One of the most brilliant places to do so is in prayer. So this is one of the ways, see, a leader who does this, all right, this is one of the ways to keep a good heart. And sometimes some people, haven't you seen the reason why some people, they are nice until they become a leader? And then they just change. Have you seen people like that? They just change. And you are wondering that, maybe it's just small influence or small money or chicken money, or maybe just small money like 10 million naira, just, and then everything, they just change. I don't mean change like, of course, you should change when you get money, you know. But I'm saying change like, they now start tiptoeing like, like, praise God. And you're like, So you have to make it a discipline in your life. So number one is what? Prayer. Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
If you don't do this, like I said, you'll be amazed at yourself. Listen, some of you, if 1 billion hit your account now, that's why Apostle John says, "I desire above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." One of the most brilliant things that would ever happen to you is to increase in influence in a proportionate measure to the prosperity of your soul. Because if you get some influence and some money with an unrenewed mind and untrained soul, Putin will be a child's play to you. I'm telling you. Don't you see Christian lecturers who use money? They see poor ladies in their department that they are lecturing, and those ones already seen them as father figure. And then they use that same money that God is blessing them with to lure young girls to sleep with them. You didn't get what I'm saying? It's simple. It's just how do I put it now? It's an important exercise that a leader, or like I said, when I say a leader, I've told you, cancel this mind of, well, pastor is not talking to me, I'm not a leader anyway. Listen, a leader, see, by virtue, the day you got born again, you receive a leadership mandate. Because the moment you were born again, you receive the ministry of reconciliation. That means bringing more men into the kingdom. You must make disciples of all. And you don't bring men to the kingdom without discipling them. Your work has not finished. Some people think when they go to evangelism, they preach the gospel, person gets saved, that's the end of their job. Your job is not finished. Until the person you reached out to himself becomes a minister. Don't laugh, my Hausa now. I'm learning. Glory to God. All right. Until they have become stewards, your work continues. And even when they become stewards, you still keep working, keep praying. Come on. Galatians 4 verse 19 says, my little children in whom I travail. See what? Till Christ be formed in you. He says, my little children of whom I what? Travail in birth again. Until Christ. Alright? He travail in birth. Then again, what does he do? Until Christ. But that means until Jesus comes. Because the forming of Christ is a continuum. So you have a ministry. You are a leader. So this is one of the ways to keep a good heart. Prayer. See, one of the greatest ways to know a proud person is somebody who doesn't pray. In the spirit realm, somebody who does not pray, in the spirit realm, they see that person as a proud person. See, when this church started, and me and Pastor Paul had to believe God for weekly money. We spend money weekly to the tune of 7,000 naira. If you like, 10,000 naira. Now money, look, to go and rent, we hire almost everything. We prayed more. When after 2 years, I noticed that my prayer started dropping, I said, no. My soul. Because there's a way you can have you seen somebody who has money? You see the way they talk? What you say, chair? I can make a put on. What are you talking? Don't tell me nonsense. You know, a rich man sent for me and he asked me to pray for him. And he told me, he says, Pastor, I don't want too much prayer, just small prayer, small. Just 2 minutes prayer. I'm pursuing this thing. I just want you to. In my heart, I says, you can't get this thing. You are not humble. When you see a rich man, truly rich, and he still does night vigil, that's an humble man. So some of you now, the reason why you are praying, the moment you see, you just japa from this country and you get a good pay, that's when you now your head, you start thinking, maybe there's no God save. You need a knock. Praise God forevermore. Prayer of introspection, very important. Number two, I'm talking about, what did I say? How to keep a good heart, right? Number one, prayer of introspection. Number two, be quick to respond to God's word. You see, I'll do a teaching series maybe next month. All right, there are trainings in the spirit. Maybe we'll call it School of the Spirit. School of the Spirit. I'll do a teaching maybe next month. One of the trainings you can give your spirit is to acquaint your spirit with acting on God's word. This is one of the best you can give your spirit. Best training to acquaint your spirit with acting on God's word. The moment your spirit, your heart is trained to act on God's word, it becomes a habit for your spirit. And that's how to keep a good heart. Be quick to respond to God's word. Listen, that's what in man attracts God. Isaiah 66 verse 2. He says, there is nothing in this world you want to give me that will catch my fancy. But to this man will I look, who trembles at my word, humbled at my word. That means he receives my word, and that's the definition of faith. 66 verse 2, I said. Because faith is acting on God's word. For all these things at my hand made, and all those things has been, said the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of poor and of a contrite spirit, and what? Trembleth at my word. And that's the definition of faith. To act on, to hear God's word, to do it. Listen, the reason why God's word is given is to do. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart, that thou mayest do it. Come on. that thou mayest do it. So be quick to act on God's word. This way you will train your heart. This way you will keep your heart a good heart. Number three, keep a good conscience. All right, we're talking about leadership, and we're talking about how that the heart is so fundamental in the school of leadership. We've spoken about prayer. I'm talking about the prayer of introspection. Now we've spoken about how that you should ensure that you are quick to act on God's word. The next one is make effort to keep a good conscience. Conscience is the inward witness to the truth of God's word. Listen, there's an inward witness to the truth of God's word. Keep it. Keep a good conscience. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. It says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Can you see that? The testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to your word. Godly sincerity. It says the testimony of our conscience. That means our conscience testifies. The testimony of our conscience. That's one of the ways you keep a good heart. Have a good conscience. Conscience, I mean, an inward witness to the truth. Listen, do you know that you can be in the conversation and then you know within you the truth, the right thing, right? Come on, talk to me. Now, be true to thyself. Conscience. Not having a good conscience has made a shipwreck of many amazing leadership. I mean, Nigeria is a perfect example. What kind of conscience do you have that some people, fellow human beings like you, are living in the same country with you, who cannot feed? They can't even eat one meal a day. And you are one of the topmost place to be in the hands of leadership in the country, and you siphon 80 billion naira. And if you are eating 200,000 naira every day, food, with that money, for the next 1,096 years, you will not finish it. It's not that deep. Do you get what I'm saying? This guy is always on high thing when I'm preaching. It's like the anointing always walk on him. Praise God. So there is something. Something is wrong with such conscience, right? Conscience. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1. He says, therefore, especially for someone who is a leader in ministry. This Sunday, by God's grace, again, we're going to have some new leaders. All right, this is so important. Look at what he says. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2. But have renounced. Someone say renounced.
Renounced.
Say it again.
Renounced.
But have renounced what? The hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Doing what? Commending ourselves in every man's conscience in the sight of God. Conscience. Keep a good conscience. If you do something and your born again spirit gives a testimony, don't forget we say conscience is what? Inward testimony of what? Of the truth. Your conscience. Inward witness to the truth. So if you do something and your born again spirit gives a testimony of falsity or negativity to it, don't try to educate your heart wrongly. Don't forget, you are the custodian of your heart. You do something wrong and your spirit tells you, testifies to the testimony of falsity and negativity of that act. Don't try to re-educate your heart that it is not that bad all the way, by the way. What you are doing is you are damaging your own heart. Because as time goes on, your heart will now accept that negativity as a norm. And once a man gets to that place, that's what happens to Pharaoh. Where you are in your heart and you know something. Listen, how does it, don't you know, when I was young, some month ago, teenagers going to do blood money. How did they, you be with somebody like this and you do their neck until they are shouting, please, 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 until you squeeze their neck until they die. Kabaya. How? Keep a good heart. Hallelujah. Once your spirit witnesses negativity or falsity of any kind, it is your responsibility, all right, not to re-educate your spirit, your heart, in the wrong way. You wore a cloth and your spirit is telling you, this cloth is revealing. I'm in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus, yes, but see, conscience. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, I don't know, because I grew up from the Yoruba family, all right? And Yoruba has so much respect for firstborn, and I'm the firstborn in my home, though I'm the smallest in stature. I'm telling you, I'm the smallest in stature. All my younger ones, they are huge. But then, when I come back from school, when I was in the university, because I'm the firstborn, only me can go to the kitchen, open all the pots, fetch as much soup, as much meat I want to fetch, and nobody will talk. But if another person does it, it's in soup. Now, sometimes when I go there, and I count the meat, we're in a family of eight, and I count, it's eight that is there. So, why? But if I take the two, nobody will talk to me. But my conscience tells me, I'm going to inconvenience others. Do you get what I'm saying? It's just conscience. We're not talking about just right and wrong now. See, I've told you this. I said Christianity is not differentiating bad from wrong or bad from right. It is leaving the good for the best. Conscience. First Timothy 1 verse 5, he says, now the end, 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, now the end of the commandment is love. Now you see why we are people of what? Love. Without what? And ever what? That's the summary of Christianity, my friends. He says, now the end of commandment is what? Love. Out of a pure heart and of a good what? And of a good what? And of faith unfeigned. Look at what verse 6 says. Which some, having swerved, have what? Have turned aside into vain jangling. Go to verse 18. He now says in verse 18, he now says, discharge I, Timothy. Verse 18. Discharge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest by them war a good warfare, holding faith and what? Somebody say a good conscience. Say it again. Good conscience. Number 4. Conscience. If some people do, is it not lack of conscience? You see people, especially in federal government, parastatus. See, one of the most, listen, let me tell you. Pastoring. You'd 6 p.m., you want to sleep, and you still be feeling guilty you have not done so much. But some people, they are working for their boss, they have not finished the job, they are waiting for, once, like children in secondary school, once 5 knock like this. On your mark, even though they don't finish the job, and once the month is ending like this, pay, salary. Yoruba will say, Ogata, Ogata, Owala, Runpe. That means whether Oga make money or he don't make money, salary must show. It's not good. That's what is killing our country. It's killing our country. It's a presidential aspirant was sharing how that when he was a governor, he cut the expenses by 80%. He cut the expenses by 80%. That's conscience at work. They were asking him how. He said because he felt it's not ethical. They invited him to Abuja for a meeting and 30 people will follow him from the state. And he will feed all those people. He will book for their flight. When they are back from the trip, they will be spending millions. Sometimes, he said the least they spend like 20 million for one trip. And he will do like 4 trips in a month as a governor. He says all the houses, every governor has a house in Abuja. They have houses in Lagos. Am I living there? He closed down and they will be collecting money for bill for all those places from the state treasury. When he was leaving, he left 86 billion or something billion naira in the state. I can't. One of the presidential aspirants, I know who I'm talking about. I don't want to mention him. And if you don't vote him, if you don't vote him, I'll disown you as a pastor. Amen. He cut expenses. Number 4, always do things for the right reasons. I'm teaching you how to train your heart, how to keep a good heart. Always do things for the right reasons. Because, listen, love, which is our motivation, is not always in action, it's in motives. You know, people say love is an action word. You can't love without doing. But listen, you can do without loving. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1. Look at what he says. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Next. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, listen, let me tell you. When you see somebody doing charity work, good stuff, right? Yes, but he says, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profit me nothing. What? So it's possible to give but not in love. Now you understand why you are a lady, a guy you met in 3 weeks, who was acting all nice, all good. The first time you met him at the shopping mall, I've seen one or two times that kind of drama before, when a lady, fine lady comes into the mall, and this guy says, how much is her money? I'll pay for you. Just put your number. A fine girl like you should not be. What's happening here? And you're like, did you come with the vehicle? No. A good lady like you should not go. I would. You should not be flying bike. Let me put you into my car. And then you drop, and it drops you off in your estate. And you're like, should I give him an, okay, you can give me. So nice. The next day again, he calls you, how are you? And he's so nice until the third week, he wants to get in bed with you. I'm not saying like 3 months is okay, or 1 year is okay. It's not okay at all until you get married. But you are just wondering that, are you kidding me? You think so, you're wise. Listen. He is good. Doing good, but the motivation is not love. He was only doing a carrot and stick approach. So actions are not only proofs of love, motive is. So do the right thing for the right reasons. Because God weighs our actions and the intent of our hearts. 1 Samuel 2:3 says, talk no more exceeding proudly, let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. By him actions are weighed. Look at what the Bible says in Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremy. Prophet Jeremy in chapter 17 of his book and verse 9. Jeremiah. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Can you see that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then verse 10, look at what it says. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I try the reins. The heart, that means the intent. If we place the X-ray of God's Spirit on your heart, won't it be showing us 404 error? Are you listening to what I'm saying? So I said I have two objectives. Number one, I want to show you how to keep a good heart. True?
Yes, sir.
Have I done a little justice to it?
Yes,
number two, I said I want to show you things you need to get right for a successful personal leadership. You want to lead yourself well? You want to be the one paddling your canoe according to God's life? I want to show you three important things. And I've taught this before, but it's so important. I want you to write this down. R-A-P. Write it. R-A-P. Pronounce it. Say it. I don't want you to forget this acronym. RAP. Let me start from the back. Three things that you must get right for personal leadership. A successful one. Number one, principle. Leaders are powerful adherents to principles. A principle I mean here is, you know, a moral precept that defines the belief, action, and ideology of a people. So as a leader, let the word of God be the structure, the skeletal system of your principle. Live by principle. The opposite of not living by principle is living a life of contradiction, of happenstance. Things determine your life when you don't live by principle. Principle simply means a body of knowledge or idea that forms your basis for what you do. Listen, principle, are you listening to me? I am talking about a body of knowledge or idea that forms your basis for what you do, when you do what you do, where you do what you do, and with whom you do what you do. So, principles, all right, becomes an important area that you must take very seriously. You must have a principle. A man with that principle, you will live a haphazard, uncoordinated life. You will live a life of compromise and defeat. You become a principle of failure when you don't live by principles. Let your principles be, of course, I told you, let the word of God be the skeletal structure of your principle. Have principles that you live by. Great leaders are great adherents to principles. Some people don't have personal principles they live by. Let God's word become the structure for the principle that you live by. Let it be the light that defines things for you. You see, listen, God's word is not just something we read on Sunday alone. Let it filter into your decision making. You see, the word of God spells out to us the very right way and the right perspective to have about everything. Don't forget where we began. It's an instruction manual. It shows us the ideal way of doing everything. In Psalms 109, verse 104, David says, through thy precepts, Psalms 119, verse 104, he says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Psalms 119, verse 104. He says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. That means, precept there means God's word. He says, your word gives me understanding. And therefore, I hate every false way. In other words, God's word helps me to define what is right. The ideal thing. So, he says, through thy words, I get understanding. Therefore, because you have understanding, you hate every false way. And if you drop down quickly to verse 128, he says, therefore, 128, he says, therefore I esteem, look at it, 128, therefore I esteem all thy precept concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Look at it. I esteem all thy precept concerning all things to be right. That means God's word defines the right things to you. And it becomes the foundation of your principle. So it becomes light to you. Why the world is there groping in the dark? You know, metaphorically, the Bible says the world right now is living in darkness. 1 John 4 verse 19. But you are the light of the world. And you see, your light must so shine that Gentiles must be able to come and gravitate towards it. That's what the Bible says. Isaiah 60 verse 3. He says, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He says, for behold, verse 2, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Then in verse 3, he says, and the Gentiles. When your light shines, he says, and the Gentiles. Gentiles there is symbolic of unbelievers. Unbelievers. He says, Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings will come to what? To the brightness of your rising. Oh, glory to God. We are a royal priesthood set up by God to show forth the praise of him who has called us into his marvelous light. We are to show forth. God's word becomes our principles. Not operas. Not what is trendy. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 1 verse 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. That means God's word becomes your pathfinder. Light to your path and lamp to your foot. So you don't stumble. You are not confused about anything. For example, in this church now, we are working on our operational manual. We have some principles. For instance, in this church, till Jesus will come, no pastor after me will join a man and a man. That man, that pastor will be cursed. As a man, the people like this, he will drop dead. I was speaking to a friend of mine in the US 2 days ago, and she was telling me how, I mean, they are practicing polyamorous people are getting wedded. You know polyamorous? May you not know in Jesus' name. There are three ladies and two boys. Five of them can gather together and go to court that they want to marry. Things unheard for, unheard of. And churches who refuse to join them, if they belong to a church, that church can actually be sealed. That church can, they can file against them that they are discriminating them. This is June. In America, they call it Pride Month. Google. June is Pride Month. They give a whole month to LGBTQ in the US. And this thing is encroaching gradually. All our children are going for... Didn't you see the mass exodus movement of people to the Western world in the last couple of years with this backed governance that we have? Don't forget they are coming back. And they will come back with their ideology. And they will be holding the same position with you in the country. And they are the ones that will go to the house of rep. Is it not in this country a particular Yerima was advocating for a 9-year-old child can be married? I'm telling you things. It's because, you see, the word of God, and we as believers must realize that, see, there is never a time that we need to stand for God's word like never before. Look at verse 130. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. What is light? Oh, I wish I had time to show you this. In Ephesians 5 verse 13, it says, whatsoever manifest, whatsoever is made manifest is light. That means whatsoever gives definition. God's word gives definition to things. God's word tells us what is marriage. It is not coming together of two adults. Mm-mm. It is coming together of a male man and a woman who are born again. Who the man lives and cleaves. Not they sleeping together already in the house. I mean, I watch something on Steve Harvey's show and I'm like, are you kidding me? Steve, I have a question. Me and my friend, we've been living together for 10 years and we still thinking we are two babies, but we still, he's still feeling this cold feet about we going getting married. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You've been living together for 10 years, you got two kids and you still not yet married? God. How is Steve, I want you to give me and my friend, we've been together for 5 years, and yesterday he removed his socks smelly in my mouth. Wait. You must be living together. I mean, God, listen, it looks very irritating to you, right, Abby? But if you don't have this knowledge right now, and you find yourself in such environment, they will give you definition of things. Like there was one that was asking me a question, whether anal sex is godly. I said, I just told her, I said, no problem. I told him, I said, no problem. Just make sure. All right. I told the other lady when he was asking me, I said, you know what? When a guy is asking you, just tell him that, no problem. You want, and I'll give you, but just get ready. Me too. I can go and get sick. I'll put you on put up soon. Because, you see.
Yes, sir.
Something that should exhaust pipe.
Yes, sir.
Principles. Let God's word inform your principles. Are we together?
Yes.
Are you learning something at all?
Yes, sir.
Number two, actions. I called it rap, right? I began from the back, principles. As a leader, you must have principles that you live by. Be a woman. Listen, I have friends who grew up together. Some are not, very few left that are not even married in their 30s. They have their own house, have their own money, living big, have their own job. And they don't leave their house until, once it is 6, they'll tell you they can't go out. They have that principles from childhood. But you, I'll be 16 years. I got dressed like this. So 12 midnight, you are still with your two left leg. You are still walking around. I told you this before on responsibility of freedom, right?
Yes,
that freedom confers on you the right to now be more responsible, because now the responsibility is no longer outside in, like suppression or, all right, leadership of your parents, but inside out. You must live by, listen, you will graduate the moment you leave your parents. You now begin to live not by external constriction, but from internal principles. When nobody, that's the problem of many young people. When they leave home, for the first time they are coming to a boarding school. Then they find one guy who was crafty enough like devil to deceive them. The next thing, they open their laps for him. Because that's the first time they will experience freedom. So they've been good girls all the while, not because they have the inner strength of character to be good, but because they were being constricted by an external force from their parents. Now they are experiencing freedom for the very first time. They've not been taught that freedom always confers on you the right to now build a strong strength of character. It's easier to be led than to lead yourself. That's why I'm teaching you personal leadership. You know, do you know how hard work it has to be for you to be a single pastor and be pastoring among young people for nearly 5 years? You don't know. You don't know. That's why I feel qualified to teach you this message. It's quite a hard. Listen, let me tell you. Look, and it is when you are, it requires, that's why public leadership must actually be, there must be, I'm trusting God for a time in this nation where there will be some qualities that will reflect personal leadership as a springboard or even a prerequisite for public leadership. That's why in Bible, when he was talking about if a man desired the post of a bishop, it desires a good thing, but it must have some criteria. And one of those criteria, in fact, the basic criterion there is, he must have led his home well. It must be an offshoot of personal leadership. Number two, I'm going to run now because time is fast spent. Actions. Actions speak louder than intentions. Even if you have good intentions, if your actions contradict your intention, you will still reap the benefit of your actions. So intentions are not good enough. Come on now. Good intentions are not good enough. If your action speaks contrary to your intentions, the outcome will not say, it is your intention that it will give you. I mean, you intend to type A, you type B on your keyboard. What will it show for you on the screen? It's a law. They work by law. A principle based on a predictable consequence of an act. That's a law. A principle based on a predictable consequence of an act. A principle based on a predictable consequence of an act. Example I give you. Gravity is a law. If you jump up, it's a law. As long as we are under the influence of gravitational pull. Except you leave this circumference of the Earth and then you escape into another force. We call it centripetal force. Or centrifugal force, as the case may be. As long as you are under this gravitational pull, if you go up, you do what? It's a law. So when you are jumping, everybody looking at you already knows you will come down. So they can predict the outcome of your action. So a law is a principle based on a predictable outcome of an act. Oh, you didn't get what I'm saying? So actions, guess what? Actions have ripple effects on every crevices of your life. For example, now, if you choose not to come to church today, what you are learning today, you won't learn. And when opportunities for you to exercise what you have learned comes, you don't have the inner energy, the knowledge inside to resist it. Are you following what I'm saying? Of course, there are some things that, by natural selection, and that's why the place of faith comes into the play. I'll talk about that some other day. For example, if you are born in Nigeria, you are already disadvantaged. You need to exercise faith. See, I like to tell you the truth. Do you want to hear me say the truth? Where are your mates that you enter the same school in private university or that are schooling somewhere in a better country? So you have to live by faith. In fact, I believe that in Nigeria, the day you were born, a child in the hospital, welcome to faith life. You have to live by faith in this country. All kind of things happen. Snake swallow money. Monkey swallow money. All kind of things. Every action has a ripple effect on other areas of your life, and it is also futuristic in consequence. Believe it or not, it's a fact. So don't do things for now, because every action you make, you do now. Every action carried out right now has a ripple effect, and their consequences are aeoristic. That means they are futuristic, and it is definite. Therefore, mind your actions, because don't do things for now. Have posterity in mind. These are things that makes good leaders. I'm sharing with you how to live personal leadership. Don't do things for now. See, have a foresight. Be guided by hindsight. And before you take a decision, with the benefit of insight. Have hindsight. Let your foresight be so rich with hindsight. Some people can't see beyond their nose. They take actions for the now. Okay, school is on strike now. Some of you are here. I know very many of you, you are learning a trade of some kind, learning to, tailoring. I see wonderful things many of you are doing. I'm so proud of many of you. All right. But there are some among these, it's a congregation of over 200. How many people are in church? There are not up to 50. Of course, some of them don't have the power to stay because their parents will insist. But there are those who have the power to stay. But they didn't stay. Why? Because now they have become chairman and chairlady of DSTV, DSTV remote in their house. They wake up in the morning, what you go job this morning? That's what they are doing. No improvement. I met a lady some last 2 years. This lady, at that last 2 years, she was 28. And she's finished university since 2012. What have you been doing? So because you're fine, you choose to stay in your father's house that one guy will marry you off chef. Of course, she's fine. The dad is rich. But no improvement. You're just there. And her mom liked me, but you know the world. Yes, sir. I mean, you finished school since 2012, private university for that matter. And you've been home since 2012. Last 2 years, old, that's 2020. And she was 28 then. You finished school since 2012, 8 years, nothing. Even if it is tailoring you were learning, even if it is DIY on YouTube. I know somebody who learns how to install glass and is making money with it today, just on YouTube. So she's the first lady, first girl. All our younger brother in London, she was my neighbor. And so now you're Ada. So Ada, you are the one managing the house. Which house? So because you find now, you see, that's the problem. Let me tell you, one of the deceptions of this age is beauty. Let me tell you, beauty. It's one of the deceptions of this age. You think because you are fine, and you know somebody, you know, a friend and I were just gisting and we were wondering, why is it that fine girls, they are just fine and empty in the head? Not guests in this church. I mean, guests in this church are extraordinary people. But, and I was just thinking, and I realized that it's maybe, and do you know the guess? Guess what? Guess what? Most children born in the 20s, I don't know why, maybe it's a miracle. Yeah, all of them are fine. I don't know. Ah, you don't understand. See, who is above 30 years? Okay, Pastor Paul, okay. Thank you, Opak and Pastor Paul. All right, you guys remember those days? Children, they used to born. That your head look like this. Something. But children of nowadays, they are fine. So fine. Look at this one now. She's in university already. See how fine. Boy. Fine girl. Everybody is fine. Ah, see all of you. See as you are fine. If you are not careful, it will be the greatest deception of this century, of this age. Because you are fine, you want to tell yourself that after all, I'm fine. So people are, guys are trodding me. The problem is the guys are be trodding you because you are fine, not because of what you have. Are the kind of guy you should even run away from. So do things for now. That's why I tell people, guys who choose spouse for fine face, okay. Or who choose, that's why, for me, you know, I was telling him, I said, me, I'll never want, you know, I don't know, I'm just a strange child growing up. I don't know. Some things don't interest me. The only guy, my question is, if guys who do that, their actions are only good for the now. See, guys, marry a guy, a lady that will wake you up 2 a.m. one day, slap stupidity from your head and say, babe, let's move that £20,000 we have in our phone. Let's move it straight. I noticed that in this, can't you see that in this area, people don't have, there's no satellite water, there's no water supply. Let's start water business. Let's move. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's. Marry the one that you say, so that I want to buy you Chinese hair or I don't know. And the hair is half a million, and he says, no, it's too much. Let me just get the haircut. Let's use the money to do some other things. You can eat some. Now, that kind of woman, open. But if glory, okay. Do you get what I'm saying? Someone say actions. Very important. See, there are some war should have been averted if some things were not done. There are families that are feeling the heat of hate. I don't want that. That are feeling the heat of hate. No love. Why? Because one man somewhere, who is supposed to be the head of the house, goes on to marry two or has different women outside, and then when he died, what is supposed to leave that should be sufficient for the family, they are fighting over it. And people are now using charm against each other in the same family. I know what I'm talking about. Then the last one I close. I say it is rap, right? Number one is what? Principles. This one is relationships. It's even superfluous for me to talk so long on this one. I'll just spend 2 minutes on this. You know already. These are things you need to get right for a successful personal leadership. Relationships. Whether or not you know it, relationship exerts certain influences on your life's purpose. You know, have you seen people who say things like, you know, I'm a good person, right? Although all my friends, they have sugar daddy, but me, well done, sonu, sonu. Look, if you are working with fools, you are the fifth. The Bible says the companions of fools shall be destroyed. In other words, you can never be wise working with the unwise. Very soon, your wisdom will turn to foolishness. Iron sharpeneth iron. There's no way you can do it. See, do you know what Paul says? Give me 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Let me stop here. If I stop today, you've learned so much, right? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Verse 33. Can we all read together? 3, 2, go. Now, the word communication there is not talking. The word is... Give me another translation. He says, do not be tricked by false words. Evil company does damage good behavior. Listen, in other words, look, don't be deceived with words. That means, look, you are in self-deception to assume that you are a good guy, but, you know, roaming with the bad guy will not affect you. I've seen people talk like that. That's deception at the highest order, saying, all my friends, they are carrying boyfriend, girlfriend, they are doing aristo, but me, I'm a child of God. They are my friends, they are still my friends. I have not fired them, they are still my... This thing is a spirit. You just wake up one morning finding yourself doing the same. Let me tell you, if you give birth to a child today and you put the child in a place and you design, you program, you get the best coder in the world and the code programs on a machine to be feeding the child, birthing the child, keep the child sleeping, and the child remain that way for 70 years, that child will be deaf, dumb, lame. I'm telling you. Why? The child never saw a human being walking. The reason why you walk is not because you have legs. The reason why you walk as a baby was because you saw people walking and then you began to walk. Don't you understand that your environment will consume you in the overall after all? Listen, have you ever gone to get cold water on a hot afternoon from your refrigerator? And then you bring it to the sitting room. You drank little and you dropped it. You went back into the room, came back to the sitting room 2 hours later, and the water has become the same with the room temperature. Come on, talk to me. Do you know why? The environment you live in will eventually neutralize you to become itself. It's a rule. You become your environment. So if you keep bad companies, no matter how good you are, you will be corrupted. Do I mean that you should not interact with people in the world? No, you can't influence a world you don't interact with. We are actually there to influence the world. Come on. But don't build intimacy with people that do not have the same principle as you do. Love on them, pray for them, say hi from afar, but don't share intimacy. Do you know some students, some Christians, they are not smart enough to know that they should not make an unbeliever their roomie. You are looking for somebody to peer together to, and you want to make an upset. And there are some, as a non-believer that are even better than believer. Look at you. Look at you. If you get these three things right, you live your life well. You live by principles. You mind your actions. And you are very cautious about your choice of relationships. Boy, your life will be so organized. So organized. It will be so organized that by the time you become a public leader, you will become an envy of all leaders. And you will make a successful leadership mandate of your life. Were you blessed? Put your hands and thank Him. Thank Him for the word. Thank you, Father Lord. We give you praise for this. Thank you, Father Lord. We give you praise for this. Blessed be your name, Lord. I give you all the praise for your word. Thank Him for the word that came to us today. We bless your name today. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. We adore you today, Lord. Malatatu suprekitish. Zeklontarahatishistus. Sofratelemenetistus. Can we speak in tongues some more? God is doing something here. He's doing a miracle in the heart of someone here. Suprahatekishti. He's reshaping someone's desire and heart here. Kibalarostustus sufroquatekitelebede. Lidalamanatosusto fruquatekiti. He's changing everything. Malato supra kalabahai. In obedience to Christ. Kila.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.